I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for some 30 years, in two different languages, no less, all over the world and here in the United States. Interviewed four presidents, founded a billion-dollar business. I believe news should be honest and direct and impactful, which is why we call this Direct Impact. So here we go. It's happened. For the first time in the history of the United States, a former president has been criminally indicted by a grand jury. Grand jury in New York, after hearing evidence in the case against Mr. Trump, has apparently decided that there is enough there to charge him with a crime. So what is this really about? Well, it's about a woman I'm about to introduce you to. Seen here with me, in fact, back on CNN. And now I'd like to introduce you to somebody who may be taking the senator on. She is considering the possibility. Some would say there's a whole lot of people who wanted to do just that. This is Stormy Daniels. She's joining us now. Stormy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are referred to by some as an adult entertainer. Some of the news stories are saying you're a porn star. How would you describe yourself?
All of the above. Exotic dancer, porn star, adult film director, Wicked Pictures contract star. Whatever you want to call me is fine with me.
Whatever we want to call her seems to be fine with her. That was Stormy Daniels. And it's apparent that she received, and here's where we get to the meat of the matter, right? She got a payoff of $130,000 as what is described as hush money. Now, if Mr. Trump chose to give Daniels the money for whatever reason, there would be no allegation of a crime. But that's not what prosecutors appear to be alleging. In the end, what will matter here is how was she paid, where did the money come from, and how was it documented? That seems to be the case that they're trying to make. So here's what we know. We know that the money was paid to Daniels by Mr. Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen. If Mr. Trump paid Mr. Cohen for legal fees but didn't declare that it was intended for Stormy Daniels, well, that could be a problem. Unfortunately, it's probably no more than a misdemeanor at that point. But remember this. In 2018, Cohen was charged with violating campaign finance laws for paying off Stormy Daniels. Cohen has asked all along, well, why am I going to jail if the guy who told me to do it didn't go to jail? That's been his big defense, if you hear him on all the cable talk shows. Well, part of that answer is somewhat simple. In 2018, Mr. Trump was the president of the United States, and sitting presidents aren't generally indictable. But this is not going to be an easy case to prove. And there will be those who say that if all you got in the end is a violation of campaign finance laws, why stop there with the former president when you could argue it's so rampant in Washington, D.C.? And this may, as some Republicans have said, be a selective prosecution. And then there's the politics, which is what a lot of people in America are always going to be talking about. Mr. Trump has already declared his candidacy for president. He immediately called this indictment a political persecution. And members of both parties are weighing in, Democrats who fear that this could actually fire up the base and make, Mr. Trump even more popular and more likely to become president again. Republicans who quietly would like to kind of see the president make room for others in the party but will likely defend him for fear of losing his supporters. It gets interesting. Speaking of supporters, despite all the talk so far about the protest, if this happens, and the fact that New York City would be mobbed by tens of thousands of people, in fact, tens of thousands of police so far have been told to report for duty just in case this happens. But as far as we know at this point, there are no obvious signs as of yet of any reaction from Mr. Trump's base or anyone else for that matter. So let's get into this. To talk now further about this, we're joined by our panel, Ed Martin. He joins us here in the studio. He is a conservative talk host. He's also an author and the president of the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And also joining us is investigative journalist and columnist at The Nation, David Lindorf. Gentlemen, let's have a good, spirited conversation. I know you both come at this from different perspectives. And David, I want to start with you. And maybe the simple question that a lot of people seem to be asking themselves in America today or even arguing about, does it seem to you, from what you've learned thus far, that there is a case here, that the former president should have been indicted?
Oh, absolutely, if they think that he committed a crime, because look, he's not the president. He's a former president. And under our system of you know, government, he's an ordinary citizen. He's not, he doesn't have special rights other than his documents from the presidency that are somewhat protected, depending on what they are. But otherwise, he's just another person. So all the talk about this being unconstitutional and so on is ridiculous.
How about that, Ed? How about what he just said? I mean, I think what David is saying is, look, if Mr. Trump were Mr. Rodriguez or Mr. Jones, yeah, he would have been charged. That's what he's saying.
Well, look, Rick, it's great to be with you, and I'm glad we're in this. But nobody's above the law, right?
Right.
Nobody's below the law. I mean, at a certain point, what we're watching is the law being manipulated for political purposes. There's no one, just from the smell test, from the outside, there's no one saying, oh, you know, all this time after he's been out of office, you finally figured this out. No, he's been declared as a candidate for president. It's interfering with the election as a matter of politics. And as you point out, you know, we were talking off the air, we don't even know what the charges are. They're sealed. 30 counts. What is this about? Look, Michael Cohen, it's baseball time.
By the way, let me just stop you there. If we don't know what the charges are and we don't know what the evidence is, why are both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, going on the air and telling everybody, oh, this is a case that A, shouldn't be brought, or this is a case that definitely needs to be brought? Why don't we wait to hear what the evidence is?
Well, there's a simple answer there. We have a track record of how many years now where the media and the left works to put out something about Trump, and it turns out to be false. And they spend years conditioning the American people to feel a certain way about the Russia hoax, about Charlottesville, about anything, when the truth is at least much more nuanced, and at worst, it's false.
Let's let David into that conversation that you just, the point that you just made. Ed, how would you respond to that, David?
I really have to laugh. I was a journalist in New York for years before I moved to cover Hong Kong for Business Week and China for Business Week, and then came back to the States about 10 years later. Trump, I've written about since I was a Cub reporter in New York. The guy has a basic approach of delaying trials, resisting any kind of provision of documents, and he usually gets away with it. And the reason that this case has lasted for more than 4 years is because Trump has fought every inch of the way to not reveal documents, and he was using the presidency at that point to do so, and he's delayed the access to any kind of information. Now, what happened that is not being mentioned here by my fellow on the panel, I forget your name.
Ed
Martin, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Names go right by me now. The point is that there's the issue that this last conviction of his company, which took years to get the documents on, confirmed fraud, financial fraud, and those documents include the stuff that's supporting this case.
Let me just stop you there for a moment. And I think what you're saying is they've now got evidence that nails him dead to rights because, and I don't know, I'm just saying, And you and I were talking about this just a little while ago, Ed. If they have an email or a memo from Donald Trump to Michael Cohen that says, Michael, I need you to pay this woman off. This is the hero I'm going to put the money, but let's hide it. I don't want anybody to know that I'm paying. Make it look like it's a legal fee. Oh, and by the way, I'm using campaign funds to do this. If they've got that, you're right. He's in trouble,
but they would have had to refer that. They would have referred that to the Fed for a federal charge. I mean, that's a federal crime. Remember, the trick that's going on here that needs to be acknowledged, and it's a sleight of hand as the media has played along. The DA has a supposed crime, a misdemeanor, under the New York state law that has to do with record keeping.
Correct.
And that is a misdemeanor.
Because he wrote it as legal fees when, in fact, not legal fees. It was a payoff.
Right. If that's a misdemeanor, then here we are. But what he's doing is charging a felony. felony. You don't turn yourself in. You don't get indicted by the grand jury for a misdemeanor. And the felony is because he has to allege that it's a step up, meaning there was a crime that it was done for. And the crime that it was done for, he's saying, is this campaign finance.
No, you're a lawyer and you make a good point. And I'm going to take it back to David. David, even some of my very liberal Democratic friends who can't stand Trump have told me they don't see this as a very strong case based on what they know. Now, remember, we don't have the evidence yet. Well, how do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, what we know is that the DA did not bring this case until after that conviction. And the second thing is, with regard to the state prosecution to this, the DA has to prosecute on state crimes. And he's a state prosecutor. And what he has that going for him is that's his office that brought the civil suit that found the financial fraud. He has access to that. He has a lawyer working for him who prosecuted that case, who's now being brought on to prosecute this case. I believe, and it's speculation, everything you're saying is speculation, everything I'm saying is speculation.
Correct.
I think that the reason this case was brought is because of that conviction having made it possible to do it because of the documents that came out.
Secondly,
those documents have provided enough evidence to show intent to defraud the electoral system. So that's what turns it into a felony and also a conspiracy. So both of which are not federal crimes, but state crimes.
Let me give Ed a chance here before we go to break. In fact, let's do this. I'm gonna take a break. When I come back, I want you to answer the question that David seems to make, or the point that David seems to make, which is pretty simple. People are saying he couldn't have done it, and the reason they're saying he couldn't have done it is because they don't know that there's new evidence that's come out in the prosecution of the Trump company case. And there's new stuff there that is going to shock you, Mr. Martin.
And his chief financial officer who's in jail and who can be indicted for fraud now because of the information they're finding. So, you know, I there was the talk about his lawyer being canned by the Trump company.
Right. No. And we're going to talk about Cohen because you're right. Cohen is mixed right in the middle. Let's do this.
That 30 minute interview. We don't know.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want you to respond to the point that he just made. And we're going to do that in just a little bit. By the way, before we go to break, I do have something I want to tell you. I have a podcast where as a journalist, a real one, as a Latino, as an entrepreneur, I share my stories with you, the good, the bad, and a little bit of the ugly as well. And it's about growth, it's about success, and it's called the Rick Sanchez Podcast. If you get a chance, check it out.
Counter the Russian state-controlled narrative. als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Hey, welcome back. You might want to call this the great debate right here. We're speaking about Mr. Trump's indictment with two gentlemen who have two different perspectives on this case, respectfully. Ed Martin is the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, and David Lindorf is a columnist at The Nation. We welcome them both back. All right, I promised you, yeah, Mr. Martin, that you'd get a chance at this. You heard what David says. He says, look, you Republicans are all going out and saying there's no case here when you don't know what new evidence is there.
Well, I don't know if that's how I started this, so if you want, I can start a little differently. My objection is when he says, we have no reason to think this. He's saying, David and others are saying, we should assume this is all on the up and up, when we have a record of about 6 or 7 years where we've been lied to by the media and by prosecutors. The Mueller investigation was dog meat. The Durham investigation is dog meat.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't have any confidence. And I go back to this. I don't know why David gets to skip across it. You can't charge a felony without you're not before the grand jury and turning yourself in to be arraigned. If you're not charging a felony, the only felony, Cy Vance wouldn't do any of this. That's the previous guy. And nobody in the feds will do it until now. They're not thinking of the federal, by the way. No one has said they've got an open complaint. The only thing is to say, I'm the DA. I can't charge a misdemeanor and get enough attention. I'm going to charge this felony. And they're stretching the law.
Let's just say we'll wait for the evidence to come in before we argue that out. But I like the first point you make. And I wouldn't be surprised if David kind of agrees with you on that. I'm a journalist. Studied journalism, practiced journalism. I believe, David, that Donald Trump made the media in this country BS crazy. And some of the points that Ed makes about the media losing its credibility, and that is partly why people may be reacting the way they are right now, might have a hint of truth to it. Do you agree?
Your problem what?
Do you agree that the media in the United States was made so crazy and probably lost its credibility in its coverage of Trump over the last 4 years that that is what is generating some of this criticism now over this indictment?
Yeah, let me say one thing about the media and myself. I've been a reporter for 52 years, an investigative journalist.
And a good one.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a liberal. I'm way to the left of the Democratic Party. And I have, you know, and I even think that Trump did some good things. I think his stance on China and particularly on Russia and trying to you know, develop a relationship with these countries rather than getting on a war footing with them was good policy. I'm sorry it didn't happen. But, I'm not saying that he did everything bad. I think the media in this country doesn't address any real issues. They go for, you know, trying to win elections so that they can get, patronage, basically. Both parties are pretty similar in terms of what they really support, corporate America, militarism, you know. So just so you understand where I'm coming from. I think, however, that it's sort of laughable to hear Republicans saying that, you know, the Democrats are piling on Trump and he didn't do anything, you know, that's worth it. I watched a man that I have no liking for, which President Clinton, being dragged through the coals for a completely ludicrous charge of having lying about this affair he had with aide in the Oval Office.
If you didn't like that, you shouldn't like this.
Absurd case I ever heard of.
So here we are again, though.
Yeah.
No, but he does. But wait,
and Republicans
he does make
thought
a good
it was
point.
Just great.
Some of the Republicans who are now shocked that Trump would be charged for something like this. Wanted Clinton to be charged for something like this,
no? Okay. If you insist, I wasn't a journalist at the time. If you insist, then you should agree that it's wrong, that it was wrong then, it's wrong now. I agree that you shouldn't have charged. Well, perjury is what Clinton got in trouble for, by the way. And I think David would jump in and say if somebody committed fraud.
Yeah.
But remember, you've now put your finger on it. This is about something that's morally salacious. And let me say, I hope David will join in. There's enough evidence in the public record confirmed now that the guy in the White House is in the middle of a lot of that corporatist action, big money to the Ukraine and to China, and there's no coverage of it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I...
No. Listen, I don't think you're going to get an argument from David or from me...
On the media's failure.
...that the media in the United States
fails
in its responsibility.
Okay. All right.
And we should be asking questions of President Biden about the way he's handled a lot of... And President Obama, for that matter.
Right.
And obviously President Bush and President Trump in some regard. But what we're left with here is a case where we're asking ourselves... And here's where maybe we... Let's turn to the political side. Do you think in the end, David, to you first, that these charges will help Mr. Trump in his chances of becoming president or hurt him?
I think that they will probably help him a lot in winning the nomination, and they probably will hurt him in the election.
That's actually a fair point.
Really, I think it's,
you know, yeah, think you, it's you agree?
It's going to backfire in the end on him. And it's going to mean we'll probably have him as a candidate running against probably Biden. I mean, that's pretty pathetic 2024 election.
By the way, can I just give my opinion on that? You know where I think he may be right? In the end, when it all comes down to America has to decide, and not the primaries,
which
get very tribal.
Yeah, right.
People will have to either make a decision or hold their nose and say, what he did was kind of, I don't act like that. You don't act like that.
Right.
I mean, who sleeps with a porn star and helps to pay her off? I mean,
there
are Americans who will say, I don't want that anymore. If there's another guy like DeSantis, I'll take him.
I disagree in the sense that I think that's already baked into Trump. I do agree with David's assessment. He wins the primary. The primary's over. DeSantis is out. This is not even going to happen. If DeSantis runs, it's political malpractice. He's doing a terrible misjustice, injustice.
That's interesting.
Trump wins the nomination 100%. I was on the Republican National Committee. I could see it up close. That's over. I think in the general, David's point is exactly right. You don't knock somebody out. Remember, Trump beat Hillary by 110,000 total votes in three or four or five states.
Nothing.
He lost by 55,000 in three or four states. 1,000 cuts. And when you say to a soccer mom he was indicted once, twice, three times, you just have to slice off the edges. When you say to an evangelical Christian, you don't have to worry about Roe v. Wade, you have to worry about a porn star. You're slicing off the edges and you're trying to get that. So I think, but I do think this, if Joe Biden is the nominee, Donald Trump is running against a guy who started wars, mismanaged wars, and there's a bunch of younger people that aren't going to care about.
You just said something interesting. I just heard you say he's going to be indicted once, twice, thrice.
Oh, guaranteed, three times. Georgia's coming in the next 2 weeks. He'll be indicted in Georgia, and then the Department of Justice will indict him for some sort of record-keeping charge over how he maintained his records.
Wow,
it's going to guarantee.
You heard it right here. So this is just establishing the traction for future indictments.
Of course, yeah, that's right.
That would sully him, though, right?
One sullies you. Two does. Three does as more. I mean, I think it's a negative in a general. But I think Trump knows you got to get to the general. And if it's Biden, if the Democrats are dumb enough to put Biden up, then Donald Trump has a chance. He's the only.
There are a lot of Democrats who might agree with you on that. David, to you, sir, your reaction to what he just said.
Yeah, well, mostly I agree with him on what he said there. I mean, I don't think that international issues and war, sadly, are a big priority for anyone in this country. I mean, look at there was a demonstration in New York in Washington on the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and I have an article in Fair today. Not one mainstream news organization reported on that demonstration. Okay, there were like between 2,500 and 5,000 people there. That's a small demonstration by, you know, global standards for an anti-war protest. But it was on the 20th anniversary of Iraq, and they were writing all about that.
But David,
the idea that they buried that story, not buried it, they blacked it out, is...
Well, but David, it's the 40th anniversary of the day after the movie about apocalypse and a nuclear. There are Americans that are realizing that we're getting awfully close to nuclear Armageddon with what was happening in the Ukraine and Russia. And they're not blaming that on Trump. They're not blaming it even on Republicans, although some of the stupid Republicans are trying to get some blame. That'll be the president. And I think, you know, that's a factor.
But we are going to be stuck on this case for quite some time, I think, because it's
forever.
The perfect soap opera. And this really is, isn't it, gentlemen, the kind of story that our present-day media loves to inflame, loves to engage in, and almost gobbles up.
Yeah.
I really think in the end, though, going back to the case, I have to say this because I mentioned it in my lead-in. When Michael Cohen says, why did I go to jail for something I didn't even do on the orders of somebody else? Doesn't he have actually a good point that some Americans are kind of agree with, though, Ed?
I mean, well, I think
he didn't sleep with Stormy Daniels.
I think he's got a point for where he is in his life. But I think, you know, when you're a lawyer, when you do the acts, when you do the deed, I mean, you know, people go to, it's not against the law to cheat on your wife, used to be. It is against the law to file things. And, you know, there's a letter, this is one of the things that people are mad about. There is a letter that came out, Trump produced it, I think, and said, here's a letter where Michael Cohen says, "It, you know, we did it like this because I advised him to, or one of the lawyers.
I mean,
look, as I said, I said to you, Michael Cohen is now, a convicted felon, a proven liar. He's getting in the Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner territory back in the day. So
you mean one is a drunk and the other one is no good?
Yeah, a convicted felon. I just don't know which is which right? So it's
well. What do you think of Michael Cohen having so much predominance in this case, David?
Well, I mean, that's the way it works. You know, you get who you can get. I think that we're going to see finance officer for the Trump organization on the stand, and I think that that's going to be interesting. So
you guys,
I do believe that that's probably the guy who had the 30-minute interview before the indictment was dropped.
We'll see. So, you know, at this point, we're waiting for the evidence. We're waiting for the literal shoe to drop, as they say. David, you're a great guest. And of course, Ed, you are too. And great points made on both sides. And we really appreciate the conversation. My thanks to both of you and to you at home. Thank you so much for joining us here. Remember, what we try to do here is really pretty simple. We try to de-silo the world. Too many people living in these little boxes. Truths don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.